to Exodus chapter number 25. Exodus chapter number 25, and we're going to take up with verse number 23 tonight and try to get down through verse number 30 of this passage as we look at this next piece of furniture, and that is the table of showbread. The table of showbread. Let's just read this passage here, beginning in verse 23, Exodus 25, verse number 23. Thou shalt also make a table of shittim wood, 2 cubits shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof, and a cubit and a half the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, and make thereto a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt make unto it a border of an handbreadth round about. And thou shalt make a golden crown to the border thereof round about. And thou shalt make for it 4 rings of gold, and put the rings in the 4 corners that are on the 4 feet thereof. Over against the border shall the rings be for places of the staves to bear the table. And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood and overlay them with gold, that the table may be borne with them. And thou shalt make the dishes thereof, and spoons thereof, and covers thereof, and bowls thereof, to cover withal of pure gold shalt thou make them. And thou shalt set upon the table showbread before me always. Now hold your place here. We'll come back to this passage. Turn with me over to Leviticus chapter number 24. Leviticus chapter number 24, and we're going to look from verse 5 down to verse number 9 here as he describes a little bit more about this service here with the showbread, how it is to be made and its purpose here. Leviticus 24. Verse number 5 down through verse number 9 says, thou shalt make fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof. 2 tenth deals shall be in 1 cake. And thou shalt set them in 2 rows, 6 on a row, upon the pure table before the Lord. And thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. And it shall be Aaron's and his sons, and they shall eat it in the holy place, for it is most holy unto him, of the offerings of the Lord made by fire, by a perpetual statute. And so it tells us there how the showbread itself is to be made and what its purpose is for. It is for to be set before the Lord, partly as a meal offering that's set before him, but also as bread for the priest to eat. It's to be sprinkled there again with frankincense, as it tells us there. And it's to be prepared by the tribes. My understanding, it was each tribe had a particular time that they were to provide the showbread. And so they would take turns about providing that showbread to be baked and to be brought into the tabernacle there for the table itself. Now, this table, again, is made of shittim wood. It's overlaid with gold. And we see there again that duality of these materials in the table of showbread, just like we saw it in the Ark of the Covenant, that it's got these two different materials, the wood in reference or pointing to the humanity of the Lord Jesus, and the gold that overlaid it in reference or pointing to his deity as God. And so just like with the Ark of the Covenant, you have the same duality there of those materials in the table of showbread as well. And we see some commonalities here on how the table itself is to be carried, as was the Ark of the Covenant. There were rings put on each corner of the table staves made specifically for the table to carry it. They would slide the staves through. The priest would carry it then upon their shoulders, just like they would the Ark of the Covenant when they were moving the furniture and the tabernacle from one place to another as God would direct them. The table itself is 3 foot long, or about 3 foot long, about 18 inches wide, about 2.5 feet high. And the serving vessels that were on it there were made of pure gold. The dishes, the bread pans for carrying the bread, the spoons, as it calls it, or those were actually the cups of incense, or the holder for the incense that was filled with frankincense, which would be poured on top of the bread and burned on the altar of incense. This was for all of these elements also were made of pure gold there for the purpose of this work. In Leviticus 24, we read there just a moment ago in verse number 7 again. I left that place, and now let me go back to it. Leviticus 24, verse 7, it says, "Thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord." And then in Numbers, chapter number 7, and verse number 14, Numbers 7 and verse 14, he describes these spoons, how big they are, or the bowls really is what they're holders, cups. "One spoon of 10 shekels of gold full of incense." So it held what was worth 10 shekels of gold of that incense poured into those cups. That's what was to be there on the table of showbread for the purpose of serving there in the tabernacle. The covers, or the flagons, the bowls that were used in the drink offering that accompanied the meal offering in the tabernacle, all these things were made of gold there here at this table of showbread. We can read there in Leviticus 23 and verse number 18. He writes here, "And ye shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and 1 young bullock and 2 rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord with their meat offering and their drink offerings, even an offering made by fire, a sweet savor unto the Lord." So that drink offering, those cups that were a part of that, or those bowls that were used for the drink offering, those are also there with the table of showbread. Those are the things that were prepared to be used there in the tabernacle. All of these things of gold, of solid gold, to be used there in the worship of the Lord. Again, pointing to the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pointing to the fact that He is God in flesh there. And so it shows that duality of Him. Now, again, you have the wood overlaid with the gold is how this table is made. And the showbread itself also is pointing to the Lord Jesus. These 12 cakes that were to be put on there each Sabbath day, most likely I see no instance anywhere in the Scriptures where it would speak of them being leavened. I would assume they are unleavened. Unleavened cakes, because everywhere leaven is used in the Scripture, it is always in reference to sin. And so it would only make sense that the Lord would employ them to use unleavened bread here on the table of showbread. It is to be used as a meal offering in the tabernacle worship. Showbread is a Hebrew word that means bread of the face, or bread of presence, because the loaves rather are set before the face and presence of the Lord. They are set before him as an offering there unto him, as this meal offering from the children of Israel. So we read there in Leviticus 24, verse number 8. And so the bread, as the Lord would describe himself as the bread of life, giving that unfailing sustenance for his people to partake of, that he is ever present to give us all that we have need of, our Lord is that bread of life for us. And so this showbread is pointing to him. Just as the manna from heaven pointed to him, so does the showbread point to him as that bread of life. He was born in Bethlehem. And what is Bethlehem? That's the house of bread, you see. That's where he was born, in the house of bread. He is the bread of life. And we see in, hold your place here, go back with me to John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. Here in John 6, the Lord declares himself here in this passage as that bread from heaven for us, or the bread of life. John chapter 6, verse number 32, down through verse number 35 of this passage. It says, the Jews, of course, questioning him, they said, our fathers, verse 31, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And so the bread, in the case of the manna, as he uses the account here in this passage, and also this showbread, is pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ as the bread of life. And he is our sustenance. He is what gives us, not only does he, I always am careful in saying that he not only gives us life, he is our life, you see. He is that which that is in us. You see, that life that we have is Christ Jesus himself. He is the bread of life. And he here the day before, here in chapter 6, the day before he identified himself as the bread of life. You see there in the first part of chapter 6, he fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And not only did he feed them with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but when they got done eating, everyone ate to their fill. They then took up 12 baskets of leftovers. They had more leftovers than what they had started with, you see. That's who he is. That is that bread of life. The one who has given us life. In John 6 and verse 47, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Now, they struggle with that reality. What's he talking about here? Eat his flesh and drink his blood. That was the very thing that was given for us, you see. His flesh broken for us. His blood shed as the payment for our sin. You must have that sacrifice that Christ Jesus gave. He's not talking about physically eating his flesh or physically drinking his blood. He's talking about being reckoned in him. That Jesus is indeed my life. That his body was broken for me. That his blood was shed for me. That I am partaker of that because of this that Jesus Christ has done in my stead. For me, in my place. And so through this offering that he has made in giving himself as our bread and as our wine, now life is given unto us, you see. And so this is what the Lord is declaring here in John chapter 6 as he's describing himself as that bread of life. And that's exactly what we are doing in the communion when we partake of the Lord's table together, when we eat of the bread and we drink of the wine. We are in that memorial, we are remembering that body that was broken for us and that blood that was shed for us that has given, because of that, has given us life. And so that's what we are remembering. That's what we are looking to when we partake of the Lord's table together. And so he is our bread. He says again, I am that bread of life. I am that bread of life. Now, the showbread, as we read, was made of fine flour. To make grain into fine flour, it must be crushed and ground and sifted. It has to be crushed until it is powder, and you sift it. To get out any of the husk and to separate that fine flour there to even, you see even more of that powdery reality of it as you're sifting through it there. This is a prime picture of not only what our Lord endured for us in his death for us, but it is the picture of his whole ministry. He was sifted by Satan. There in Matthew chapter 4, we read where he goes into the wilderness after he's baptized there. He's led of the Spirit into the wilderness. He spends 40 days and 40 nights there with fasting in the wilderness there, and Satan tempting him the entire time he is there. And never once does he relent. Never once does he give in. It was impossible for him to do so. He is the impeccable Christ. And so there was no chance that Satan would have any upper hand on him. But our Lord endured that temptation. He endured that sifting that he might show unto us, that he might show unto all creation, he is God. He is God. And he reveals in that our dependence upon the Word of God to help us even in our times of temptation and trial that come our way. And so he was sifted by Satan. He was tested by religion. Over and over and over again, the Jews, the elders of the priests there, they were constantly, constantly questioning, constantly looking in. If they had a microscope, they would have used it. They looked at him as closely as they could, looking in every way, not to test to see if this could be. That was never what they were doing as a whole. As a whole, they were constantly looking for some kink in the armor, something they could point to and say, ah, now we've got him. Now we can track him. That's what they were constantly doing the whole time of his ministry when he was going in and out among them. And so he was tested by religion. Though sifted by Satan, and tested by religion, there was no sin, no transgression found in him at all. Paul tells us in Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 15 concerning his place as our great high priest. He says here in this passage, Hebrews 4 verse 15, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Yet without sin. Jesus made the declaration of himself that Satan had nothing in him, he said. There was, in other words, there was no charge of sin that could be laid on him. Though they tried. Oh boy, did they try. That in every question, in every test that they made of the Lord, they were seeking for an opportunity to accuse him of some kind of sin, some breaking of the law, and yet they never could. They never could. They even got in, at his crucifixion, they even brought false witnesses there to witness against him, and they couldn't get their story straight even. They couldn't even get their stories in the false witness they were bringing. They couldn't even get the falseness, their perjury, they couldn't even get it right as they were giving it against him. And so we see our Lord was sifted. He was tested throughout his ministry. He was scourged on the day of his crucifixion as he suffered that whipping there for us. Those 39 stripes, 40 stripes save one, the scripture says that he endured as his flesh was ripped from his body. He was crucified there in our stead as he hung there on the cross for us. All for the payment for our sin. All that we might be given life in him. All that he might meet that very description that he declares of himself as our bread from heaven. He is that life-giving bread. This showbread was sprinkled with frankincense. It's interesting that that was one of the gifts that was brought to him after his birth there, as the wise men from the east came and visited the Lord. That was one of the gifts that they would bring. And that, of course, that frankincense symbolizes the perfection of Christ. It symbolizes also the life of his saints, that which we are given in him. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. We read here in verse 14 and 15. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse 14 and 15. Paul says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ." We are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. And so it's not only is it pointing to his perfection, but it is also pointing to the lives of his saints, that those that are in him, the light that we shine forth to this world. We are a savor. We are a sweet-smelling savor of our Lord to this world. Of those that are his, those that believe, and those that do not. That reality, that savor is still there. And they recognize it. They recognize it. Now, these loaves were gathered from the 12 tribes each Sabbath, and they are used in two ways. First, they are an offering that's dedicated to the Lord for their labor. as we are to give our sustenance one to another, as we are blessed, we are to return those blessings one to another, help one another when we can. Paul says there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, he says in verse 12 down through verse 17 of this passage, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' it is therefore not of the body. Is it," I should read that as a question, "is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him." And so we are to gain sustenance one from another. We are to be strengthened one of another as we go through our lives, our service in the body of this church, that shining forth, that very example that's given there of the showbread, giving as an offering there in the tabernacle. This, it also accounts to the giving of the tithe each week, as Paul reminds us of there in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 2, when he says here, "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him. There be no gatherings when I come." So laying in store that tithe on the first day of the week, bringing it in unto the Lord for the purpose of His use there. And so it is a service that is performed with this bread. That's the first part, this offering that is given. The second part is that the bread is provided as food to be eaten by the priest on the Sabbath in the holy place, as we read there in Leviticus 24. We as believer priests are to feed on Christ. That's what he was talking about back there in chapter 6. He says, "Eat of my flesh, drink of my blood." That's what we're to feed on Him. That's He is where we get our sustenance. He is where we get life. He is where we have everything from. It's from our Lord Jesus. And so we are to feed on Him, so to speak. We read there in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 of this passage. Philippians 4 and verse 13. Paul says here, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He is our sustenance. He is that bread. He is that wine that's set on that table of showbread. It's all pointing to Him. And those things, those elements, that bread, that wine, that set there on the showbread, set there on the table rather, showbread, spoke of that priest, of the priest's fellowship with the Lord as they are communing there before Him in that worship. And again, it's the same thing that is accomplished in our communion when we take of the bread and the cup together as we spend that time in memorial of our Lord's payment for us. And so this all of this work here in the tabernacle here, this particular table of showbread, this would be carried over into the temple as well when it was brought there into the temple. We see its use continuing on through the age of the tabernacle itself. David and his men, for instance, went in and ate the bread on the table of showbread when they were hungry. In hunger running from Saul, and the priest gave them the bread there that had been dedicated for the table and allowed them to eat thereof. And the Lord declares in the New Testament, He declared that it was not lawful for him to do that. It was not lawful for him to take it. But his point goes on to show that it was for his sustenance. It was to give him in that instance life, though he ate it there for that which was dedicated for the Sabbath. And that was, of course, when they were questioning him about healing on the Sabbath. And they were trying to catch him in something there. And he said, well, what's the Sabbath made for? When is it not right to do good or to do bad on the Sabbath day? And then, of course, he heals the man's arm and hand right there in front of them when he makes that statement to them. And, oh, now he's done it. Now we've got him. You know, again, constantly testing, constantly looking. This table of showbread and the table itself, the bread and the elements that are a part of this table, all of it is pointing to our Lord Jesus and what he has come to do for us, to bring us this sustenance, to bring us this life that can only come from him. Today, many Christians are starving. They attend church where they are not fed the bread of life, but rather they're feasting upon the humanistic and philosophical points and opinions of the world. So much of worship today, or what is called worship today, is all about the flesh and all about entertainment and nothing to do with learning of Christ and seeing the wonder of who he is. And so there are many that are starving in churches, or what are called churches today, simply because they are looking for sustenance from this world, from the things they can get from this world, instead of the sustenance that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are others that attend churches that feed them the husk of spiritual experience, just the outside, just a little bit of a piece of it, without sound teaching from the Word. And we who feed on Christ must take his bread to those hungry, starving souls around us and declare him faithfully to them, that they can know what it is to be sustained in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the bread of life. He is the one who gives us all our need, all the sustenance that you and I need, we get from our Lord Jesus. He has accomplished everything for us. Let's all stand together and we'll be dismissed tonight.